Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. So good to be back here with you, Jordana.
It's awesome to be back. We have a really, really great guest that'll be coming on at the end of the episode. You guys may or may not know her. I am a huge, huge Real Housewives of New York
you
fan.
You seem starstruck a little bit.
It was
bit.
Great to see her in person. She's like, honestly, she's beautiful.
Beautiful, yeah.
And like, it's just cool. I've watched like 10 seasons of Real Housewives of New York. So I feel I do. And I've watched in a very short period of time.
Okay.
So I feel like I really know her, even though I don't. But like, you know, it's weird to watch someone's life, 10 years of their life in the span of like a month.
Listen, I know we're no Countess Luann.
Yes.
But I know some people feel that way about this podcast where they're like, we've, you know, gone through like you moving in with your boyfriend,
right.
Me getting a girlfriend,
being single.
So like, you know, I do understand. I've felt that from the other side. And
and
I have people that I listen to that are podcasts and TV shows that I've met. And I'm like, I don't want to reveal. I know your middle name.
Yeah.
You know,
it's funny. But yeah, she's sitting next to me. I felt like very cool. It was a very fun experience getting to talk to her. I think you guys will like the conversation. She'll be on second half of this episode.
Yeah, check it out. And you know, let a friend know who listens to Housewives. This is a good episode to get them involved.
Exactly.
Let people know. Make your Instagram story. What's going on here at Betches before we get started? Anything good?
Download Ship. It's about to be our 1 year anniversary. We're very excited about it. Cool changes are coming to the app, and you guys should get on it. January. Big dating app season. Download it. What about you? You're going to be in Buffalo this weekend, right?
Buffalo this weekend. Come on out. Buffalo this weekend, the 23rd through the 25th. I'm going to be in Nashville for Valentine's Day weekend.
Awesome.
Bring out the Galentine's Day crowd. Bring out the boyfriend. This is a good way. You know, this is good for everybody, I think.
For sure.
And then San Diego is the week after that. And then, you know, Boston and New York, those are coming up. So jaredfree.com. I wanted to talk about something today.
It's a big pop culture moment.
There's a bit, and I feel like I've been talking about Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston my whole life.
I feel like they got divorced 15 years ago.
15 years ago.
Is that the right number?
And we've been talking about it for 15 years.
Right.
What I don't understand, and I want you to be the voice of, of the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Speak for your kind here.
Right.
Why do people want? I don't understand I understand a couple getting divorced, getting back together.
Right.
I do understand that.
Okay.
Because I just don't understand the cheering. I don't understand the sidelines going, "Woo, Brad and Jen, please! Oh my God, it's gonna happen!" And I know that's not everybody, but I know I don't. To me, I think of it a lot like, you know, like I think of these things like when I see people get together, I go, hope it works out. Relationships are hard. You know, like,
well, that's not the rom-com culture that we grew up in. And these are people who have literally been in rom-coms. So it creates this even more fantasized, emotionally masturbative.
Is that what it is?
It's like, yeah, it's like, and it also, I feel
Brad
like people
cheated on Jen, had kids with the woman he cheated on with. Then is back and sober and everyone's cheering for this. If it wasn't Brad Pitt, no one would be in favor of this.
I think they would still be in favor of it because it gives them this hope. Like, the past few episodes, we talked about this, like, on again, off again relationship thing. The idea of, like, holding on to something that just isn't working. There is, I don't know if it's, like, a female thing or a person thing, but there is a thing in our heads, which is also, like, reinforced by this rom-commy culture of like the carry and the big and they're on again, off again, but you're just kind of like, I just don't get why these two couldn't be together. Like, and then, and in your head, you're kind of like, oh, like, yeah, like it was always her. Like he'll come, like Brad will come. Brad's gonna come back, but like so will the guy that's not texting me back.
Yeah,
like this is like further proof for me that like that men come back. That men that it's not
they'll realize the error of their ways.
It's never really over, which is a really bad message actually, because it sends the message of like if you just wait it out, or if like you know he'll eventually realize he'll come back. Not like let me move on to someone who appreciates me more and better than this guy did, and I learned from that mistake that I don't want to be with a guy like that anymore.
Yeah, I understand the romanticism part and putting yourself in the shoes of the person. I think it's like, you know, somewhat unhealthy. Like,
oh yeah, of course it's unhealthy.
Because women do this a lot in their groups, and this is something that I just see from afar, just you know, just watching and being an observer. Mm-hmm. This cheering element, the group cheering for a relationship to work. And it's like, I don't believe in that at all. Like, you know, people should be so lucky to die next to the person they love.
Yeah.
You know, like that, you have to be lucky.
I mean, I do it too. I have celebrities not to bring this back to ship, but that I ship.
Okay.
Which just means to endorse a romantic relationship. And there's just something, you feel invested because like that's what we think about. You know, I mean, like you're saying like, why do we care? Is that the question?
I understand why people care. I don't understand the ovation. I don't understand the excitement. Like if I had a friend that came to me and was like, I'm getting married, I would go, awesome. When's the wedding? What's going on? It wouldn't be like, yeah, oh my God, show me that ring. Like, I think like men like have done themselves a better service by being more realistic of the negativity that most relationships end. And
that brings us back to what we always discuss, that there's a culture around being female. There's a culture around socializing and being female is competitive, not on necessarily like work accomplishments or things that you're doing outside of relationships, but it's really a lot based on like, where you are in life. Am I in a relationship? Am I engaged? Am I married? Am I having kids? It's like that, although things are changing in the world, I think that's still very much ingrained in a lot of us. And it's like this idea of like this guy coming back or this idea of things working out in this way. It's like that is the epitome of, it's like a real life rom-com for us. It's like he did the thing. He left her for the woman. He's sorry about it, and now he's come back as any man now could do, as the guy that you're with could do. And it's like we're excited for it because it's like it means it's possible.
Yeah, I understand that. I used to
have this feel this way a little bit. I used to get emotionally, or not really emotionally invested because I don't really care. Mm-hmm. But I used to really like Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez. I was like into their relationship. I liked them being together. And then when he got married, I was like annoyed. And I'm like, why am I annoyed? I don't even know this person. It's nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I came to realize it was because like I also had that like, you know, on again, off again thing with a guy who was like never really committing and kind of like leading me on and then pulling back. And like,
sure.
To me, that was like, it's like, even if that's subconscious or not completely conscious, it's like, this seems like some sort of like manifestation of what I'm kind of in, and whatever happens here is sort of an indication of what could happen with me.
Yeah. But to me, those are the things that are the least healthy.
Of course.
Yeah. Like the relationship that the people cheer for is usually the one that's like the worse off.
Right. Like, it's not the like, oh, we met and things are going great, and then we both are just like really into each other and we decided to move in together and get married. Right. Yeah.
Like
no one wants to hear about that.
Nobody. If Jennifer Aniston came out tomorrow and was like, hey, Brad and I are just on good terms. I actually met a guy. He does accounting. Right. His name is, you know, Harry Greenstein.
Right.
And we're doing okay. Like,
yeah.
I don't think people go, Greenstein!
Like, no, they don't want, that's easy. They don't want, that's not rom-commy. You know who no one talks about? Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson.
Yeah.
Married for years, very happy. No drama. No one gives a shit.
Yeah.
No one even knows who he's married to.
I know, but this happens all the time in actual relationships. Like, this happens in friend groups. And I just don't believe in cheering on any relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that's healthy. Like, especially when you fix two people up, the person that's like overly involved and harping on it, you put so much pressure on these things that it's going to pop.
Right.
And I don't know. Like,
it makes it seem like the relationships are far less complicated than they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is really the unhealthy part, is it makes it seem like, and now they're good and now it's all going to be great. Or even when, like, he left for Angelina and now he's happy. He left and now he's happy.
Sure.
And then they get divorced and it's like, oh, maybe it wasn't just like happy. It wasn't all just like great and wonderful, mm-hmm. and happy. People are always like shocked at these celebrity breakups, as if they know anything about what it's like to be with that person on a day-to-day basis.
They don't know anything at all. It's an interesting thing the other side of it is, like, I'm not saying they shouldn't be together. I'm just saying that, Harriet Housewife sitting at home going, finally, Jen and Brad are back together. Like, right. I hate saying who cares, because I don't believe that's an interesting conversation. I understand why people care. Like, it's nice to see the guy, mm-hmm. come back, realize that, like, I've grown up and you're the one I've always loved. But
it's very validating for a lot of people.
Because
it reminds them of their... People only really care if they can relate it in some way back to themselves.
I guess what they're relating to is the exception being the rule.
Right.
They're being like okay, well, happen. This can happen.
Right. That's why Jen. People love that Sex and the City big relationship thing, because it's like, in the end, he like chooses her, which is like so weird. And like, they're like, oh, like, it can happen. Happened here. And like, it was supposed to happen.
Yeah, I guess I wrote this on my Instagram, but I was like, I don't think if Jen and Brad were just two people in your friend group, you'd be as pumped. You'd be right. Like, Jen needs to get help. You know?
Yeah, like, you'd be like, what an idiot.
Yeah, yeah. There would be some like, you know, oh, good for you.
Right.
You know, it wouldn't be as...
I agree. I think it's, you know, it's like that. It's something people are obsessed with their breakup too. They have been for years. People still talk about it. Mm-hmm. Even before he was not with Angelina, there's always like those like tabloid headlines of like, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many, people love that shit.
People love like a love triangle.
Us Weekly isn't selling a cover of like,
of Rita Wilson,
Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson celebrate
their vows.
Right? Yeah, like no one gives a shit because it's not interesting and it's not dramatic. And like, I don't know if this is a female thing or not, but I love drama.
Yeah,
I love it. That's why I love this Real Housewives stuff. Every episode, it's like a big fight and a big someone taking something personally and a dramatic thing. Like, no one wants to watch someone who's happy.
Do you think some of it? And I know this is, I don't mean to sound bad, but do you think some of it is that they look like brother and sister?
Brad and
Jen?
I think they're both very attractive.
But they look like...
They should be together.
You know what I mean? Like, do you think people... Like, if it was me and Jen, they'd be like, no, gross. Mm. Do you think it has anything to do with it? Because, like, it just... You know, women like, you know...
I don't know. I root for Justin and Selena. I don't think they look alike, but Justin and Haley... Maybe.
More. Yeah, they kind of... Brother and sister, not like look alike. They look like they could be related. So people are like, ooh, that fits and makes me feel comfortable that life has fit into a box that I need it to fit into.
That might be it. I don't know if I... Maybe it's a subconscious thing, but for me, it's not like... It's much more about the emotional pull of it.
Sure.
To me.
Coming back from years, realizing the error of your... horrible man ways.
Right. After being an alcoholic and also like, I mean, like, he now has six kids. Like, what is she gonna, what are they gonna get back together?
Take care of her kids.
Right. I feel like people were so I mean, like, infidelity is such a huge thing. It happens all the time. So I think that's also why so many people grabbed on to that story of Brad Pitt leaves his wife for this other woman who's like, interesting, a little crazier. They're in a movie. They're working together. Like, this is what happens. He took the, you know what I mean? Like, this happens to a lot of people.
It's a very relatable triangle story.
Right.
You could fill the roles with the people in your own life.
You can
very
see yourself
easily.
In one of these people.
Totally. Yeah. It's I hope they find the best. I really.
I don't really
let
see
them know.
It
Jared being wishes a thing. You the best. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and then there's like the Angela. Were you team Jen or Angelina?
I didn't really have a team. This is the thing. This is I just was.
Who did
here.
You like? Just feel like a small inclination for who? Would you rather do?
Who would I rather bang? This now we've gone to the disgusting part of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Angelina, there's no question.
Right, there was something scary about her.
There's something
like
very to me the Jennifer Angelina thing is like when a girl goes tells you like it's like when a guy goes, "Oh, she's hot." And then girl it's like when there's two women and the girl looks at one of the women and goes, "She is beautiful." And you go, "Yeah, she's cute." And then you go, "What about her?" And then the girl goes, "Well, guys think she's hot."
And Angelina's guys think she's hot.
And I'm like, "Yeah. That is a good reason."
Right.
You know, there's a lot more going on. And that's not to say both of them aren't beautiful. It's just there's one that has, you know, brings out the animal within. And there's another that you're like, "Let's hold hands and go to the park."
Right. And it's
kind of, that's scary to women. I can understand.
Yeah. Because then it's like, oh, I have to beware of the lingering, you know, crazy seductress who like, I'm more stable and rational than.
We put so much character onto these people that we don't, like, I don't know anything from Boo of these three people.
Right.
And I do agree with you. One is the seductress.
Yes.
One is the gorgeous man. And the other is the girl you went to Hebrew
school
with.
Right, the girl next
with.
Door.
Yeah. That, and it's not fair. But it's very carnal.
We all know people who could be them too. Like
absolutely.
This happened to or whatever.
There's no better feeling than spinning around in a salon to see your hair looking absolutely perfect. But it feels impossible to keep up that same look at home. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier. And I'm finally seeing the shinier, healthier looking hair I've always wanted. It's like I'm salon fresh every time. I have hair that is pretty thin and hard for me to grow. So I love the hair serum. I love that I can put it in wet hair or dry hair. It doesn't make my hair feel oily. It's a super lightweight serum. I just like the way it feels in my hair, and I love that I'm helping my hair to be healthier and I'm helping it to grow, which are two things I've struggled with for a long time. I am super pumped because I love, love, love these products. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. When it comes to seeing results, the key is consistency. For best results, use for a minimum of 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. When I sign up for a monthly subscription, I can get one bottle or three bottles sent. Plus, I save more and I never run low on the products I need to take care of my hair. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/UUP and use code UUP at checkout. That's vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP to save 20% on your first order. vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP. I used to be one of those people who thought they didn't have time to prioritize wellness, but I recently came across Allo Moves and now my whole mindset has changed. The app makes it easy to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, and so much more. To me, living a healthy, mindful life is really about your mindset, and all of the things that Allo Moves have in their app contribute towards a well-balanced, healthy life. It's not just workouts. It's also meditations. It's also fitness classes. It's also yoga. It's things that calm your mind, healthy recipes, just to give you an overall lifestyle pick-me-up. And I think all of these things are equally important to having the healthy life that you want. So that's why I love that you can find it all in one place with Allo Moves. From beginner to advanced, Allo Moves has the flow or class that will fit your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what I'm feeling that day. If you're trying to get in a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights. Or maybe you'd rather find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, dry brushing, and journaling for those quiet moments. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use their code UUP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's allomoves.com, code UUP. allomoves.com, code UUP.
What are we talking about today?
All right, we're talking about why a guy would constantly bring up his ex.
Okay.
So this girl writes in, she said, "Hey, Jared and Jordan, I'm a big fan of the podcast and I love how you tackle important topics while making me laugh along the way. My question for you both is, what is an acceptable amount of times that a guy you're dating can bring up his exes? I've been dating this guy for 2 months. He's been texting me every day and we hang out each weekend, but I've noticed that he keeps on mentioning his ex-girlfriends every time we hang out when telling stories that really don't need to include them. For instance, he said that he said he had a bottle of Prosecco in his refrigerator after finishing school, and he asked, who gave me that bottle? Oh, I think it was my ex from the summer. I don't think that detail was really necessary to the conversation. He also mentioned his high school girlfriend after we had just had sex and were laying in bed together, saying that he was head over heels for her. I thought that wasn't the best timing in the world on his part. I haven't mentioned that it bothers me because we haven't defined the relationship. I'm wondering if I'm just a rebound from his girlfriend that he broke up with last fall, and if I will always be competing with ghosts of girlfriends past. Any advice would be greatly appreciated on whether these are red flags or if I'm overreacting. Thanks in advance.
Yeah, I don't know if it's as deep as she's making it. Like, the competing against the girlfriends.
Is he still not over them?
There have been plenty of times where I have said things to my girlfriend or girls that I've dated where I'm like 4 minutes into the story and I go, oh, shit, this wasn't the right audience.
Right.
Like, I've been like, and then, oh, and then this girl I used to date wore this beautiful dress and I'm going, Jared, you... This is a
so you think it's this just is a friend oversight?
Story, not a girl story.
Okay.
And I do understand that, but there is a point where it's like, has he not let go? Where is he?
Or is he trying to, for me, I'd be like, is he trying to send me a message that like he's still like not over these people? Or is he kind of building this up so that he can end, when he ends it, he has evidence for the, you know, I'm still thinking about these other girls.
Nah, we can't give men this much credit.
Okay.
You know, like, I do understand what she's saying. It's annoying. And it's also hard to be like, hey, I don't need to hear about your ex. Like, because then she seems like she cares too much and is insecure.
Right.
But it is one of those things where you're like, I don't see this as a move, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I don't see it as like, oh, if I bring up my ex enough, she'll trust me more to have sex with me because she knows I'm talking about things in relationship terms. And I don't see that as being the thing. Also, these are his stories. Like, these are like, you know,
he was head over heels in love with his ex-girlfriend.
After sex is a weird... I think that would have
been a good time for you to say, like, hey, like,
I feel
like it's a little insensitive. We just slept together. And you don't have to make it like an attacky thing. You could just say, like, it makes me a little uncomfortable.
There's also a good way to say that.
When you bring up your ex.
Yeah, you can be like, hey, I'm right here. You know, like, it is fine to say that as opposed to, like, hey, how much do you still love your ex? And you keep bringing it. You know, there's a tough tight wire to walk. Have you ever, like, how do you bring up exes with your boyfriend? Does it come up?
It comes up, like, it doesn't come up super often. When it does come up, it has to be, I would imagine it would be like in the context of a story that it were like truly related to.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I feel like if a guy was doing this, it would annoy me. I would prefer, like, because you want to feel like they're valuing this more, but you don't want them to insult the person. You don't really want to hear about them in any way that's not like, yeah, I went to that place. I've actually been there with an ex or something.
You want it to feel like it wasn't dropped in
too late.
It was an afterthought of the story.
Like, yeah, I've been to that restaurant. I went on a date there.
I mean, I like hearing stories about exes a little bit. Like, I like, you know, like, I think there's like, I think you can't pry because then you end up hearing information you don't want to hear. So it's like you can go, hey, you know, like, I will ask questions about exes. I'll be like, oh, so how long did you date? When did you date? Like, at least that conversation gets it out of their system a little bit.
Plus, I think those are things that are important to know. Like, why did it end? Like, that someone bought you a bottle of champagne is not interesting information or important information for me to know. Like, why something ended or like why it was significant to you or why it didn't mean that much to you is more interesting to me than like the factual basis of we went here together or we had, yeah, we saw that movie together. It was, we didn't like it. That's not as interesting to me. Do you know what I mean?
It's funny to me. Like, sometimes when my girlfriend gets upset with me, if I'm like, she's like, we should do that restaurant. And I'll go, I've been there before. And she'll go, what? She'll be like annoyed that had experiences that precede her.
Yeah.
And then it'll be like, when did you go? I went on a date there. And it's like, and then there's this like fun, uncomfortable moment of like, yeah, you brought this up.
That brings us back to our conversation about like romance versus like practicality.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about at the end of this episode. But it's kind of like, yeah, like practically speaking, I haven't not been to a restaurant with any other woman besides you in my life. Yeah. Romantically speaking, it'd be great to pretend I hadn't.
Yeah. Yeah. These are two different things.
Right.
Yeah. For her, does she end it? Is this a red flag deal breaker? I mean, the Prosecco in the fridge one, that's from a girl who got that for me over the summer.
You may ask, right?
Yeah, like, I get that information coming out. For him to say head over heels after you just got done from being
that
inside of
rude.
You seems a little rude. I think it's okay to speak up for yourself when you feel something, say something.
It makes you uncomfortable, say something in the moment. I think, I agree. I think it's okay if he doesn't, one, understand how that would make you uncomfortable or doesn't stop doing it, I think it could be a deal breaker.
Yeah, if you had said, hey, I was just had your penis in me. I don't want to hear about your ex. You know, like
I'd like to pretend for the next 20 minutes that this is the only thing that's
that you didn't want to marry someone else before meeting me. But also, to me, she says, haven't mentioned that it bothers me because we haven't defined the relationship. I don't think that
matters. Yeah.
Matter. Yeah. Like, I think it's okay to say when things make you feel badly.
Right. Also, it's kind of like, you don't have to be someone's girlfriend for that to make you uncomfortable. That's not like a rule. Like, oh, just because we're at a certain level of seriousness, now you can't ever talk about her.
If you were on a first date and he was like, my ex-girlfriend used to order chicken parmesan. And you were like, well, wait a minute. How long ago was that? 3 days ago. You know, like, like you would, if you had not said anything, then you would be fucked.
Right.
You wouldn't have all the information you need.
So, I think it's okay to say that.
Let's do some awkward sex. Send yours in UUP@Betches.com. UUP@Betches.com. You ready?
I'm ready.
Hey, Jared and Jordana. I have a funny sexual experience that I wanted to share, really hoping you find it as ridiculous as my friends and I do. We'll see. 2 years ago, I went down to Maryland from New Jersey to celebrate New Year's Eve with my friends. We were all crashing at some of my friend's friend's house, who I had not met before. So friend's house.
Okay.
Since he lived near the bars that we were going to. A big group of us went out and it was a fun, pretty normal night. And afterwards, my two best friends and their boyfriends, the guy whose house we were staying at, let's call him Matt, were hanging out for a while before going to bed. After that, I went to the bathroom to brush my teeth and stuff, and everything got weird from there. Well, I'd say it got weird when you were hammered brushing your teeth. Like, to me, I'd be like,
you're not a toothbrusher. When
I'd be so fucked up right now, I wouldn't know where I was. I heard a knock on the bathroom door after a few minutes, and Matt asked, "Are you all right in there?" And I was like, "Yeah, all good." I thought it was a little weird because I wasn't sick or anything, but didn't think much of it. 2 minutes later, he knocks on the bathroom door again. I think it's important to note here that the bathroom is generally a safe space where you can go to escape from people. No one ever wants to be approached while in the bathroom. Yeah. I'm with her.
This is a very, very strong feeling. About
yeah, she's very against this bathroom. But I do understand, not to stop
maybe,
the email.
Maybe he had to go to the bathroom.
He either has to take a shit, or it was weird to bring up that he wanted to hook up with you.
In front of everyone?
In front of everyone in the living room. And he saw this as his chance, which I agree, not a great
right. I'm going to go like interrupt her bathroom time. Yeah.
Hey, wipe up in there. I want to fuck. But I opened the door and was like, yeah. And Matt is standing there and starts stammering. Hey, I just, I think you're really great. was just wondering if, and I clearly saw where this approach was going. I started making out with him to make this interaction stop. Wow.
So she was kind of into it-ish, it seems. There's a lot of ways to make someone stop without
that don't include making out. Yeah, I don't think this is the way out.
Okay.
How do you get out of the burning house? Well, you run through the basement first, and then you go, like, I started making out with him to make this interaction stop, and he asked me to sleep upstairs in his room. I probably felt a little lonely because it was New Year's Eve, and I was planning to sleep on the couch, so I took up the offer for the bed under the very clear pretenses that I was not having sex with him. Nuh-uh, Matt. So we'd been making out in his bed for a few minutes when he asked me, do you like guns? I was very thrown off.
That would be scary.
Yeah, but I would think it's his dick.
Or his arms.
Or his arms. That would be funny.
I got two of them.
Yeah. Do you like guns? I was very thrown off by the question. This was right before gun control was a hot topic, and I literally never thought of guns at all. And I was like, I mean, I don't know. Next thing I knew, he turned on his over on his side, did not even get off the bed, reached down and pulled out a rifle. This is the point where I'm afraid.
Yeah.
This is the point where I'm like, oh my God, I'm a Netflix documentary.
Right. That with like the bathroom stammering and like the thing. Very odd, weird move. Never, I wouldn't pull out any sort of like weapon in bed.
No, yeah, no, this
unless
is.
It's part of some
also,
other.
They say that most people, like, are, don't they say like a lot of, you know, like killings happen when people like make mistakes with their own guns? Right. Like,
yeah, I'd be like, get that out of here.
It'd be, you know, when someone like has like a, you ever go paintballing and someone like waves the gun around, and you're like, and then you look like, I haven't been
paintballing, but I kind of know what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like, when someone's just playing with something that could hurt you,
right?
And then they aim it in your direction, you're like, let me make it more betches. They have a champagne bottle.
Oh, yeah. And you're like, get that away from
get
me.
Get it away from me. And you're like, you want to cover up your eyes, but you don't want to look like a fucking loser nerd. Right. You know, like, this is what I would be like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, like,
yeah, I get that.
Probably a 3-foot-long giant gun from underneath the bed. He started playing with it as I literally laid there with my mouth wide open, stunned. He started taking out the bullets and stuff and asked, do you want to play with it? Oh, my God.
I feel like someone told him that this was going to get him a lot of girls.
You think so?
This gun, my mind, I'm like, oh, someone was like, girls love guns. They think they're hot. And he was like, this is his first attempt at like trying to pull,
I mean,
show off his gun.
This, it couldn't have read the room worse. More wrong. Yeah. I kind of replied, no thanks. And he put it away, explained that he just wanted to show me, started to make out with me again, and proceeded to ask me to put on his shirt. Okay. At that point, I had to back out of this interaction. Yo, you're done?
Guns
it
was, out.
Yeah, it wasn't the weird, you know, interrupting my shit. It wasn't pulling out a rifle. It wasn't asking me to play with the rifle. Now I'm out.
He wants me to put on his shirt.
I said I wanted to sleep. So I turned away from him and tried to, but I could not relax with this gun enthusiast and his favorite toy next to me when he probably wasn't thrilled with my reaction. She's taking a leap a little bit. After a few minutes, I said that I wouldn't usually do this sort of thing and went back to sleep on the couch downstairs. Since I survived, though, this wild encounter has become my favorite story to tell literally everyone whenever I get the chance. Oh my God. Nice to meet you. Yeah, I would like to look at the apartment first.
Let me tell you the story.
Yeah. I hope you like it too. Love you guys. Can't wait to hear what you say about this. Best starting the new year with a bang. What do you think about this?
I would be out for sure. But
so red flag, deal breaker.
I'd be a deal breaker. I also feel like this guy lacks like any sort of like, it's almost like less about having a gun and more about just like the like awkwardness and social, like,
yeah,
social non-graces of being like thinking that would turn me on.
Mm-hmm. It's the unawareness of how little this makes a woman hot.
Right. Like very little. To me, it screams of just like very little game. He's like trying. It's like the guy who like pulls up in the nice car or like takes you to the fanciest restaurant. It's like you're doing this because like someone told you it would impress me, and it has the opposite effect of making me feel like you're trying very hard, and also this is very weird.
Sure, the gun is a highly politicized item.
Mm-hmm.
It could really be anything.
Right.
They pull out a gold brick.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to play with my gold brick? You know, like, yes. You know, like it could have been.
Oh, I just have so many hundreds here. Will you hold them for me?
You ever seen 10 hundreds in a pack? Like, yeah. Right. Have you, like, even if they pulled out, like.
Do you want to see my house on Zillow?
Yeah. This is all. Oh, look at this dildo I happen to have under the bed. Like, anything getting pulled out mid-makeout is like. Okay, you just pulled a rabbit out of your hat to like get the tip at the end. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like the most that you could really do would be like to put on music, and even that, unless it's like very like standard,
sure,
can be risky as well.
I mean, it's funny also to think he's like, oh, I guess this could be put in the context of like, oh, you think this makeout is good? Well, wait till you see this penis. and you don't believe the penis is going to be big, check out this rifle. Now you know I got a big dick.
Right. No, like, but it's just so funny that no girl would ever think that.
I know.
It's the opposite.
It's so misaligned. Right.
Hit the mark. But I could see how, like, maybe in his head he was like, girls like... got like guns are like attractive and girls will like it. They know I'm like strong or something. I don't know.
What's also annoying about this, and this is like, we live in such highly politicized times that he could go, that fucking liberal idiot doesn't like guns. Like, no. This is about you having horrible game.
In the bedroom.
In
yes.
the bedroom. You Terrible. Stink at this. But this is the thing, like with any subject on this subject, it becomes, you know, right or left. When this is just... you suck at being a dude.
Right.
You know, terrible. Like, you're a terrible fucking hookup.
I call this one shot in the dark.
Oh, I like it.
He took it.
Big Bang Theory.
I like that. Big Bang Theory. That's good.
Yeah, because it is his theory.
Yeah. I think I would be out just like this. I would have done the same thing. I would have been like, I got to go to the... It's a little too much for me. I'm going to go to the couch.
If a woman did this, I would like be afraid. I'd be like, oh, I'm the next...
Especially if you don't know them at all, because you're like, just like, this person could be really crazy.
It's also your parents' house, so it's not even like your gun. Right. Like, are you showing me your dad's gun to impress me?
Yeah, that's an added extra benefit of like, this is why it's even like sadder. This
if
move.
Your dad owns it, no one's impressed.
That's I think that's we should true like I think that's everything. Yeah.
Everything. Like if you pull up in your dad's Maserati, we all go. All right, good for your dad.
Right. yeah.
I'm trying to think of
your
like...
your dad had a good year. That's excellent.
What would the female equivalent be? Like, this feels very man...
I feel like
man.
It might be like pulling out some crazy like lingerie or like a...
Yeah, that's funny.
I mean, like the first encounter or like, do you want like some sex toy or something like that of like, oh, men will love this, like... Or maybe talk.
Have you seen my anal beads?
Right, like, oh, like someone told me men love this. Like, he's going to...
pulls a string of beads out of her own ass. Like, oh, I don't know if I've been holding these all night.
Or some, like, crazy dirty talk, I feel like, which is beyond the realm of, like, anything most people would say on a first... Like, that gets really weird.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I totally understand.
Or, like, someone
understand.
Told them a guy's love that, and then, yeah.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's soldejaneiro.com. Promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code UUP10.
You guys know I'm a huge fan of Skims, and with warmer weather coming, I recently tried out one of their t-shirts. Skims makes the best basics and foundations, so it's no surprise that it's the best fitting tee I've ever worn. Finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge, whether it's the fit or the quality, but with Skims, they make the most flattering shirts for everyone. I love anything that Skims makes. They have like the most incredible material. I have the soft, smoothing, seamless t-shirt in Onyx. It is so amazing. It has like amazing versatility. I wear it to dress up. I wear it to dress down. I just wore it to the airport. It was like a great shirt to wear that was like super comfy on the plane, but also super flattering. And I also tried the cotton jersey t-shirt. As cotton t-shirts go, it is incredible. It's honestly like a step up for any other cotton t-shirt that I own. It hits me at all of the right places and it fits like a dream. Skims t-shirts are made with innovative technology while always keeping style and comfort in mind. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, Skims has something for every fit and every body. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Let's do some emails. UUP at betches.com. UUP.
Okay, we're going to do one email and then Luann's going to come on.
Boom.
All right. This is a deal reveal, which I know you love.
I love a deal reveal.
Hi, J&J. Love your show. I started listening in July after my boyfriend broke up with me out of nowhere and I needed the motivation to get back into the dating scene.
You go, girl.
Please come back to Chicago for another show. I was in Greece and devastated to miss you guys.
Uh-oh.
Not
a feta stow.
I've been dating this guy for a couple months and we recently agreed not to date other people. His texting and communication has slowed a lot since the beginning, but that tends to happen and I wasn't worried. However, this past week, we barely communicated. I reached out Wednesday because my work dinner was canceled and asked if he wanted to hang. We were both having really stressful weeks. He asked if wine was involved and I said wine and scratches. I don't really understand what that means.
I think scratching his back.
Oh, okay. His favorite. And he said it was tempting. Hours later, he sends me a pic of him drinking wine on the couch with ice on his ankle. I asked what happened, and he injured it the night before playing basketball. No mention of a hangout, so I went to bed. He texted me on Thursday, pretty normal conversation for us, but no mention of plans this weekend. Friday, I decided to text on the assumption that I would see him this weekend, like Jared says to do, and got the text
Don't
below.
Put this on me.
Well, it's like, next week's episode. That's what she said.
Yeah.
I responded saying, okay, no worries. Have a good weekend. So what's the deal? Did he really just have an awful week? Do you think this is salvageable or should I just assume he's over me and move on? So then she sends the two different conversations. We can read them. I'll be her.
Yeah, let's do it.
So this is...
This is the first one that
Wednesday. This is from Wednesday.
Okay, so can we sum up? Let's do a little review. She's been dating this guy.
2 months. They're not seeing other people.
Okay. They're exclusive, but not in a relationship.
Right.
Is the label that they've kind of agreed on. Yes. And then they hadn't seen each other, barely communicated, reached out Wednesday because the work dinner was canceled, asked if we wanted to hang.
We were both having really stressful weeks.
Okay. And he said it was tempting. Okay. So this is the first text of her in the week trying to hang out.
All right. So she's, hey, how's your week going?
Oh, just busy, crazy, stressful, and want to scream. How about you?
Literally same. But my work dinner tonight was canceled, so let me know if whatever her name is, time/stress relief later sounds appealing.
It does sound appealing. Is wine involved?
Wine.
I love that text. He's just like,
are we going to get fucked up?
Yeah, anymore? I'll hang out with you maybe. All right, yeah.
Yeah, it's like fishing out. It's like, who else is coming?
Yeah.
You know when you ask someone, you invite someone to a party and they're like, well, yeah. who else is coming?
Let me see the guest list and then I'll decide. Right? Yeah.
It's like that. Wine and scratches. And then he sends.
And then he sends back a picture of wine with his ankle under ice.
And she says, ha, nice. And that was
okay,
it, I guess.
That was it.
If I were her, just giving her a little thought, I would have said, I guess you don't want to not want to hang out anymore. I get it. Or like something like that.
Yeah, ha, nice is not the...
You're
agree.
Not getting the information that you would need after you sort of agreed to do this thing. He's not even telling you what happened, like that he... It's not giving you a verbal explanation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, at that point, so it does sound appealing as wine involved. Wine and scratches. So now she's like, she's being cute. She's like, I'll give you the wine and the scratches. And then he just sends back a glass of wine with his foot and ankle. But, okay, I think the timestamps are important, too.
Right, because she said wine and scratches at about 5.
So that would be the time you're leaving work or getting towards right. The end of the
she
day.
She wants to know what's going on, and then he doesn't answer until 7:45.
With the wine and ankle on ice, which doesn't look like he's running to come to her place right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that point, that's when you got to call it out.
Right, because he didn't say, it's not like he said, I actually just twisted my ankle. Can we do a rain check for a different night?
Yeah, or... I mean, yeah, he should have said that.
Right.
But she should say, I mean, there's a point.
She should have said at like 5:30, like, are we on? Are you interested? Like, are you down? So, like, should I come over later?
Yeah. And I think also, like, and I don't want to blame the person who's trying, because she's trying. I don't like, you know, I, when she writes, but my work dinner tonight was canceled, so let me know if Amanda time / stress relief later sounds appealing. When someone, when a guy wants to date you, wants to hook up with you and not date you, he's going to let those texts just slide.
Right. This You're is saying how she you needs keep, to be more direct.
Yeah, this is how you keep someone on the hook to fuck you, but not have to be responsible for them.
How would you have phrased that if you were her?
If I were her, I would have written, hey, my work dinner tonight was canceled, so I'd love to hang out with you. Let's do some wine time at my place or your place.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what you meant more than the, like, I assume we're doing, like, something this weekend. I think that she misinterpreted that, and we'll see that in the next text.
Yeah.
Where she thought you were just, like, assume you have plans even if you don't. I think you're more like, assume the person's going to say yes.
Yes.
When you ask them, not, like, pretend they are, like, well, we'll read the next one, because she texts him again on Friday.
I just think this is an, she's avoiding hearing the yes or no.
Right. She's saying,
yeah,
like, does it sound appealing is not yes or are you, like,
and he just writes, it does sound appealing. And then by the time he gets back, oh, it's too late. It did sound appealing. I've been nice the whole time.
Right.
That's kind of the move. And the move is be just nice enough that disappointing someone could be empathized.
You don't seem like that big of an asshole.
Yeah. Because right. now he sends the foot in the picture with the wine. So, yeah, it's been a tough day. I wasn't lying about the tough day, but I'm also not lying about it's hard to get off my couch because I got this thing on my leg.
Right. So then she texts on Friday at 1:15 p.m. Hey, what are we doing this weekend? I think that's what she thought you meant. So to clarify to everyone who thinks that, like, that this is what they should do, I maybe you did mean it like this, but in my mind, what you mean is like, let's get dinner.
What are we doing this weekend after you've gotten a soft no?
Right.
It does. You have to live in reality.
Right. Where someone could come back to that and be like,
what the fuck are we?
Right.
You know, we are nothing is his first thought.
Right. Well, he's not going to write that.
Well, we aren't even a relationship. We haven't defined this. We're exclusive, but not fucking anyone else. But, you know, we.
Right. This is an annoying person to deal with because they're not giving you a hard. They're never giving you hard no's.
Yeah.
Hard. Without a hard no, it's very hard to say, like, to say deal breaker.
Sure. And she's also ignoring
she's ignoring the soft nose.
Yeah. And like at some point, someone has to break. At some point, him with the wine and the ankle brace, you have to go, wait, does that mean? I know we're trying to be romantic and fun and flirty, but like.
So are you coming over or not?
Do you want me to come to you?
Right.
Like that's the assume close.
Right. And then if the person, then you force them to say no.
No, tonight's not the night.
Right.
And then when they say tonight's not the night, you go, well, let me know when you're ready. And you're done trying.
Right. And then you're done.
Because he wrote back. So she wrote, hey, what are we doing this weekend? And then he's right. This is his response. Hey there. Like, I can imagine him saying that. Like,
hey there is annoying because it seems like I've been trying to avoid writing this text, but now I'm writing.
And here it comes.
Hey there.
Hey there. Wasn't aware that we had any plans this weekend. See, he's vague until... This is perfect.
Right, he doesn't get what she's trying to... He's not taking the sarcasm bait, too, of like, what are we doing this weekend?
Oh, you think it was sarcasm?
I think it's kind of like, oh, like, I don't think she was like actually assuming they had plans. I think she was like, oh, of course we would hang out. Like, what do you want to do this weekend?
Oh, I think she took a step too far. I'm not saying she's wrong.
I'm saying that's something I would text like my boyfriend.
Of course.
Like now we're dating, but
live together,
right?
Right. What are we doing? Is what you, like people who live together text?
Right. You can't text that to someone who like you see once every 2 weeks. They were not going to.
Who just sent you a picture that avoided answering your first question?
Right.
Wasn't aware that we had any plans this weekend. I've had a hell of a week, so may just want to lay low tonight. Tomorrow night, I have dinner drinks with a friend, which means here are my plans without you.
Right. Yeah, I think this might be a little dead. But what I would do is these guys avoiding actually having the annoying conversation of saying that he doesn't want to hang out anymore. To me, I would take the hint of like, okay, this person is not prioritizing seeing me. He must not be that into it anymore. So I would just ask that. I'd be like, hey, like I've tried to hang out a few times. Doesn't seem like you're that interested. Do you feel like something's changed from when we first started dating?
His response to that will be very positive though. It will be not mean. It's going to be
what he's been doing before.
So let's play it out. Go. What's the text again?
Hey, like, totally get that. I do feel like you kind of like been flaking a bit on like plans and we haven't really been hanging out as much as we used to. Like, do you feel like something's different for you?
Nah, this week has been so crazy. I'm so sorry. I do like hanging out with you. This has just been a week and I had plans this weekend and you know, that's what's going on. I'm not really, you know, maybe another time we can do something.
Right. But you said you weren't even doing anything tonight. Like I would have been fine to like come over and just hang out. And you don't really even seem interested in that. Or like, did you want to do something next week? Like, do you want to put something like in the calendar? I'm just kind of feeling like you're not that into this. I'm getting that vibe.
I'm into this. But, you know, things are just so busy that, you know, to do anything, to put things in the calendar just doesn't work on my end. Like, he would have to, at that point, with that line of questioning, he'd have to be like, yeah, and then,
And I'd be like, well, if you can't really find a date in the next week or so that works for you, I really don't feel like that you necessarily like have the time to really be dating, which is fine, but like, just wanted to let you know, I'm looking for something a little more serious.
Yeah, and at that point, you know, this is one of those, like, she's done everything not have that type of text to him.
Right.
Like the thing you just said is what she should be saying this text, not what are we doing this weekend? Like, hey, well, I haven't heard from you.
I would try again if I were her. It's fine to say like,
it's okay to try again.
What are you up to this weekend or something? Or do you want to do something this weekend?
I think she's got to stop pushing. I think sometimes you have to be the receiver. And you say, and let them know that. Hey, but she wants...
She also wants a closure. Because that's the issue with saying, okay, I'm done. I'm putting this in your court. Because then you're still kind of like waiting around wondering if they're ever going to do that, which isn't that helpful for you either. And then maybe you get that text on a Friday night where the guy's like out and drunk and being like, oh, like, are you around?
Yeah, but then you have to remember what you wanted in the first place.
Right, but I'm saying then if you're like, oh, well, here's the part where he's coming to me and I just like, I didn't text him first, so it's fine.
Yeah, well, that is the truth. He's trying to set up a situation where coming to you seems like effort when it's not.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like not effort, but you can think. Because if you're like, okay, I'm done trying. I'm gonna wait for him to come to me. And then he comes to you and you're kind of like, but you didn't come up with, most people don't come up with like ground rules for what that has to look like.
Yeah, but women have a great memory until they don't want to have a good memory. Until it's hearing a no.
Right.
And because in that situation, if I was to write to someone, hey, I've been trying to hang out with you for a couple weeks. If you want to do a date, I'm down for that. But it feels like you don't want this to grow.
Right. Well, that's.
And then the person would write back. Saying, yeah. Okay. And then they write back, well, I'm not looking for anything serious. And they basically end it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they go, you know, you're right. I've been so busy. And then they make a plan.
Right.
And if the plan that they come back with, this is the part where you have to have a good memory. If the plan they come back with is Friday night, I'll be out drinking White Claws. Let me know where you're at. You have to write back to that. That's not the plan I want.
Right.
And be okay with
that. Yeah, which is a hard thing to do. I understand that totally, especially if you're like kind of into someone. You're like, oh, I don't want to. You give someone a lot of slack when you're into them, and it's important to, own, like you said, own your standards.
Sure. This is like one of those exchanges where I see what she's doing. He sees what she's doing.
Right.
We all see it. And it's like, it starts to become wearing.
I agree.
But, you know, she's got to move on from this guy.
I think we're in agreement on that. Anyway, we will be back with the Countess Luann.
Very exciting. Great conversation. She's fantastic. Check it out. Enjoy. Keep sending those emails. UUP@betches.com. It doesn't have to be expensive to upgrade your wardrobe with luxury quality items. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach. I love what Quince is doing. They're basically taking the expensive label off of the clothing and giving you stuff that's just as good. They have cashmere sweaters, they got jackets, they got everything. I love their socks. Right now, you're pulling socks out of the drawer and you're going, oh, it's that pair again? Get rid of that pair. Treat yourself. Quince. Not just the socks, though. They got everything. 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. The best part, Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middlemen and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/UUP for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/UUP to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/UUP.
And we are back with a very special guest, Countess Luann de Lesseps. I am a huge fan. I'm the biggest Real Housewives of New York fan. I binge watched, I think, how many seasons are there?
It's going to be 12. Season 12 this spring.
About to be season 12?
It's about to be season 12. So.
I feel like, I mean, you must get this a lot. I feel like I know you. I obviously don't. But it's. I think it's the best show on television. I think it is the best editing. It's the most entertaining thing.
Oh my God,
for
my
me.
Editor is going to love that. I'm going to see her tomorrow. I'm going to tell her you said that.
There was like a few scenes on that where I'm just like, this is the best editing on reality television I've ever seen.
She's great. And we have the most amazing season coming up. I'm excited. It's, you know, I think our best season yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you ever think it would be like this when you first started doing the show?
No way. I mean, when we first started, it was a pilot.
Yeah.
We got paid $10,000 for the whole season.
Okay.
It was a pilot. And then, you know, it just kind of took off. I mean, I remember after the first season, it was like, you know, we would be in New York and it'd be like, Countess, walking down the street. And I just couldn't believe it. And it was kind of like the reality of Sex and the City and Desperate Housewives kind of intertwined.
Totally. I remember when it came out, the Desperate Housewives thing, that was kind of like the jump off point that I kind of seen it from. But did you ever think people would like when you first, what did you think it was going to be when you first started?
You know, I had no idea. I mean, it was, first of all, called Manhattan Moms. It wasn't even the Housewives. So and I think, you know.
Manhattan Moms makes it sound like, I feel like that'd be offensive.
I feel like it's so far from like the actual content of the show, though. I mean, you guys are all moms, but it's so much more like. Like you're not, it doesn't really show too many people with like young kids. It's really more about like you guys and your businesses and like the way you interact with each other.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I had no idea what it was going to be. I mean, it was basically, you know, we're going to, we want to, you know, kind of an insider view of your life and with your children and with your husband, because at the time I was married and, you know, I had done television before. I used to work for Italian television. And so reality was a new kind of medium for me. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, why not? You know, this is how I live my life. You know, you got to take chances and you never know what's going to happen. So.
Right. So this is a dating and relationship podcast. We talk about modern dating issues on this show. You said you were married at the time it first started. Then you become, you know, a celebrity.
Right.
How has it been being single in the public eye? Like, how is that?
Well, you know, it's never easy because, you know, I was raising two children and I think it's not easy for women and raising kids and working and, you know, trying to juggle everything. So I think it's, you know, women are a force to be reckoned with and they're the most powerful. And I think that we make it look easy, but it's not easy.
Have you ever done a dating app?
I've never done a dating app.
No?
Never.
Okay. I don't know.
Well, I think it's an interesting question.
I don't know.
I want to
look. No, I haven't.
Have you ever been tempted?
Well, you know what? Sometimes I look like my niece is on dating apps. Okay. Like she was on Raya and I was like swiping with her and going, oh, this is kind of cool. But I don't know. I'm old fashioned that way, I think. And not to say that people haven't met, you know, and had great relationships on dating apps. It's just, it hasn't been for
just
me.
Just not the way you're looking.
It's not the way I look at it. So
right, I could totally see that. I also I watch a lot.
I just find it impersonal. It's just, you know, and I just feel like when you have too many options in life, it's hard to decide and pick things.
The hardest.
So I'm the kind of person that likes to feel and touch and smell things before I actually invest in them.
I totally understand. It's all personal preference. Yeah. But how do you meet men? How do men approach you? Because I would think you have to have that air, you know, like you're on TV, you're in TV.
Right, or how do you know which people are into the fame or just actually kind of like are interested in you or, be hard to navigate.
I just feel like these kind of things come naturally when you lead with your heart, I think. And when I got divorced in 2009, I met Jacques. Jacques had no idea what I did or who I was, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's hard to navigate because, a lot of people know who I am, but a lot of people don't know who I am. I don't come from a place of, I'm a star or anything like that. That's not who I am. So I don't think of myself that way. And I think that makes a big difference. I don't have that, that air that I'm unapproachable because I am very approachable, which people don't know about me or think about me. I'm down to earth and kind of cool.
Yeah.
And not like all uncool,
It's got to be tough to be chill.
It's one of the best scenes.
It's got to be tough to be chill and also say, it's Countess.
Right. Well, I mean, listen, at this point, it's my hashtag. It's a part of who I am. Of it's course. Always going to be a part of who I am. I was married for 17 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a courtesy title, which, my ex-husband, the Count, will be the first one to say, you deserve that and you keep it. It's for you.
Right.
I have two children with the name Deliceps. And so, it's a family thing. It's a something I'm very proud of and part of my history.
I find it also so fascinating that I feel like of all the Housewives franchises, is like New York, most of you of you guys on there are single. Most of you are, or at least not married or dating or things like that. But it's not like a huge issue or it's not a huge thing. It's
never
not like
comes
a huge
up. Don't
not,
you
right,
love it?
Right. It's not
We're
even
all
like
single.
It's not even that dramatic. There's so much. And I feel like that's maybe part of it. Was being in New York as opposed to all these other cities where it's you don't really need a husband or a boyfriend to be doing things that are fun and interesting constantly.
Right. To get out of the house.
Right. As opposed to all these other cities where it's it seems that's a big crux of without that, without those relationship issues or the husbands or being a part of the drama, there's not too much of a story.
That's what makes New York work. I think that, I hope that we inspire women to know that, you can be fabulous on your own, in your own right, and do you without having to, rely on other people and be strong on your own and, seek out your passions and things that you love. And I think being in New York, you have all those opportunities also, everything is at our fingertips. Mm-hmm. So, you can learn a foreign language and go out to the, whatever, classes and, take all these interesting classes and just work on yourself and improve yourself. And I think being interested in things is what makes you interesting.
Well, there's honestly in New York, especially, there's a scene for everything.
There is.
So, right. You do a live show.
Yes.
It's a cabaret.
Yes.
You can find a cabaret in New York and go see Luann.
That's true.
That's an amazing, but that doesn't, sometimes that doesn't exist in every city.
That's true.
And to tell people the truth, this audience, Luann is taking that show on the road.
Yeah, I'm on a Live Nation tour with
it. We want to let people know, okay? Yes. If you are in Cincinnati or Indianapolis, she's coming to your town.
That's
and puts
right.
on... Jordana, you said an unbelievable
I've
show.
Heard, and I haven't gotten the chance to see it yet, but I've heard it's amazing. It's so entertaining, and I've seen bits of it on the show, on Real Housewives of New York.
Right.
And it looks awesome. And
just little bits and pieces. You know what it is? It's, how I started the show is that a really good friend of mine said to me, Lou, you love to entertain, you love to tell jokes, and you love to sing for your friends. You should be doing cabaret, and that's how the whole thing started. Mm-hmm. I was like, maybe you're right. Maybe I should do a cabaret show. And he introduced me to a director, Ben Rimmelauer, and, we started talking, and we hit it off. And together we built the show. And so it's really old school entertainment. It's kind of like... it's kind of like Carol Burnett variety, in terms of entertainment, and it's old school. So I think people, you know, when they come to the show, you're really in my living room, you know?
Yeah.
I sing for you. I tell you stories. I read from my diary. And of course, I sing, you know, my classics live, you know, Money and Chic. And
so if you're in, we want people to go. If you're in Indianapolis, she's going to be there on January 24th and Cincinnati on January 25th. And also, Michelle Collins, friend of mine, she's fantastic. She's on the shows with you.
Yes, she's, you know, on my tour, I have a comedian and mm-hmm. and I have one singer that comes in because it is variety. So I love the element of comedy. I love the element of being swooned by a fabulous Broadway star. you know, I have a lot of huge talent in my show, you know, from, you know, the biggest Broadway stars to Lance Bass, who's been in my show. So I'm really lucky.
This is great.
It's a big show. It's a big show. I have got Billy Stritch, who's my musical director, who played with Liza for 25 years, and now he's working with me. So I'm very lucky because I have really talented musicians and really talented guests. And you know, traveling for the show and being on the road and tour is just, I mean, beyond. I'm beyond humbled and loving the whole experience.
Do you feel like you'd be able, or you would be doing the show, or you'd be like, as motivated to do the show if you were still married and you know, like nothing ever happened there? Do you feel like this was something that you would do anyway, or do you feel like this is sort of, you know, something that happened to you later in life or that you wanted?
Well, listen, you know, my first husband, the Count, he'll be the first one to say, you're such a showgirl, because I used to work for Italian television. I used to be a showgirl in Italian television. So for him, it's like, this is exactly where you belong.
Right.
You know, I don't think I could have gotten away with it in my second marriage because that was a totally different story. But, you know, my first marriage and my ex-husband to this day is very supportive of the show. And he's been to the show, actually, yeah, in New York. Yeah. And the kids, you know, for the kids to see me on stage after, you know, the hell I've been through the last couple of years, to see me get up and rise to the stage and make, you know, lemon meringue out of lemons has been an amazing thing to live.
Do men approach you after the show?
Do men approach me?
Yeah. They see on stage? Are they
what
like...
What percent of the show is female versus male?
Well, my friend brought me along and I didn't know... You know, because sometimes that happens at ours. They're like, a friend brought me and I didn't know about you.
Right.
I would think that's, you know, a way that, you know, maybe a man would approach
it. It happens. You know, a lot of, especially, you know, men who come to the show are like, they don't really watch the show. Mm-hmm. And to have them say that they had a great time and enjoyed the show, even though they don't know anything about Housewives, is my goal. Right.
That's a great compliment.
Yeah, it's a great compliment. And I would say probably about 80% of my audience is female.
Okay.
So the girls are coming out. It's girls' night out. It's a party. It's the bachelorette party. It's a birthday party. It's you know, it's Mary F. Kill. You know, this is why I named my new show coming out in the spring Mary F. Kill, because it's all about relationships and husbands and you know, boyfriends and what we all go through. And I always get asked, because I do a Q&A with the audience, I always get asked this question: who would you marry, who would you F, and who would you kill?
Okay.
So I thought, this is the name of my next show.
Who are you, what type of guy are you looking to marry?
Looking to marry?
Yeah.
Are you looking to get married again?
I've been married twice, but you know what? I'm a hopeless romantic, and I feel like never say never, and maybe three time is the charm, like they say.
Sure.
You know, what am I looking for? I'm looking for easy, happy.
Right.
It's funny, if a man said that, they get crushed.
She means like,
I'm looking for easy.
No, she means like no mind games.
Funny, successful, of course, handsome would be nice.
Yeah.
Right.
Tall.
Let's do an email. You ready?
Yeah, let's do an email. So we get emails from listeners. We thought this one might be a fun one for you to weigh in on.
Okay.
Given that you've been married and, you know, neither of us have. And what's your thoughts on this? Yeah. Should I read it?
Yeah, go for it.
All right.
Let's do it.
Hi, J&J. Love the podcast. Thanks for all your great advice. My boyfriend and I have been dating for a year now and are both on the same page that we want to eventually get married and have kids, etc. We're only 26, so neither of us is in a huge rush to do those things, but something that is in the more near future is moving in together. The only problem is he snores like a motherfucking freight train, and I have to wear earplugs and have ocean sounds playing or be very drunk to sleep next to him. And when he does sleep over, I try to switch between that / sleeping on the couch / making him sleep on the couch. My question is, how weird is it to be a couple with two bedrooms? I like the idea of saving money by sharing one bedroom, but I also don't want him to feel bad that we don't sleep together. But I don't know if I can function with him keeping me awake at night. And to be honest, even apart from that, I prefer sleeping by myself. But I really love him and will do anything to make it work. I don't know what to do. What do you guys think?
Get a two-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
That's what I think. And you can meet in the middle and make it sexy, you know?
Do you think
why
that
have sex in the bedroom? I mean, what about the couch? What there about the kitchen table?
Look at
that. That might be the key to a happy relationship.
Yeah, you're making me blush.
No, but listen, you know, I think the most important thing is to be happy, right? So if you have to get wasted to sleep next to your boyfriend, that's, you know, you're going to get depressed.
I have a question. Do you think you would have given the same advice before your first marriage?
You know what? My husband at the time, he didn't snore like that. I can't imagine not being able to sleep, you know, and being next to somebody that keeps you up all night.
Sure.
I mean, that's got to be really frustrating and exhausting and horrible.
Yeah, I agree. I
wonder if there's like a...
What's wrong? You know what?
To
me, there are no rules. You make the rules. You define what's comfortable for you and what makes you happy. And when you know what? When you're happy, then everybody else around you is
happy.
Do you feel like you would get like some backlash from like your friends?
Who gives a shit what people think?
Well, this is what I keep thinking. That's what you were saying before. Yeah, like this is what I'm thinking. Like this is, like I love, it's refreshing to hear from you. You're like, get the two rooms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fucking the kitchen.
That's right.
As simple and as straightforight mm-hmm. as the advice should be.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, I think this is more like a female problem than a male problem. Like, mm-hmm. if a guy told me, yeah, my wife and I have two different rooms, I'd be like, wow, you figured it out.
Yeah.
You get to sleep on your own. You can hang out in your room, play video games,
that's
and then meet in the middle and fuck in another room. Like, to me, this is the dream.
Or you can pick the bedroom, you know, is it your place or mine?
Sure, that's like, that's like romantic.
It's sexy.
Yeah, and like the way
she
leave
rose petals, you know, on the way to your room, you know, kind of.
Straight to your crotch.
Yeah.
You know, like, and, but, when, but this email, is she's like, well, he care? No, he's
no.
not. This is, I think her issue is with the brunch table.
Right.
Women.
Yeah. I would have something to say at the brunch table.
This is what I'm saying.
Sure.
Women give each other such shit that, like, if you were like, if I was like one of your girlfriends and I was like, me and, you know, Rob are going to do two different bedrooms, like, I feel like the whole table would go down to their phones to text each other about how horrible our marriage was.
No,
you know, like,
I think they would go, oh, shit, am I doing something wrong?
Oh, okay. Maybe.
I think you have to spin it on its head, which is, you know what? Maybe they have something here. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I mean, like, do you think
when you see the
Dorinda John thing where she has they don't live together.
Perfect example.
You're not, there's no part of you that kind of feels like a little judgy, like, oh, isn't that she must not like him that much, or is this, you know, like a judgmental thing? Like, for me, I feel like a lot of women or me, when I see like a different scenario, and again, I feel like, especially at my age, people are getting married. They're like moving on to these things. You're like, you kind of feel like you have to be in these boxes that move forward, and anything out of that might be an indicator or a red flag of like, they're just not that into them.
That shows you're just, for me, that you're just uncomfortable with yourself. That's all I can say about that. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
we should judge, you know what I mean? Like, people should do what makes them happy. And I feel like, you can't care about what people think. Like, for example, if I, you know, brought this up on The Housewives, you know, right?
Right.
Like, the girls would be like, really? You know, and I think you have to make people understand where you're coming from. And if they don't get it, that's their problem, not yours.
Right.
So it is funny that a lot of, you know, I don't mean to put this on women, but this feels like a very female thing where, like, they're different thing, just like Jordana just said. Like, the minute you go outside of the box, you start thinking of your friends doing their Housewives face to camera interview going, Jordana doesn't even sleep in the same bed as her husband. You know,
that's
like,
what you would think
that's
that,
kind of which isn't fair.
I mean,
which is going to happen.
I mean,
ultimately is going to happen, but
if you're more comfortable,
it's the matter, it's how you now then, you know, take that in and deal with. I mean, you don't have to agree or, you know, like I said, it's being comfortable with who you are and the decisions you make and not letting, you know, people sway what works for you.
Yeah.
I think that's good advice.
Great advice, but tougher to take than it is to give.
Definitely is.
Advice is always tougher to take.
I agree. But it's so funny to me because if I ever brought up to my girlfriend, like, hey, we should do two different bedrooms, it would be like, you know, maybe, she might agree with me, but then I do think a part of her and a part of a lot of women would be like, how am I going to sell this to the group?
Right.
How am I going to sell this to the group chat? And it's because, like, that sucks. I don't have that thought in my mind.
It's because romance isn't necessarily, like, practical, right?
Sure.
So, like, the most romantic things are almost, like, the most impractical things, right? Like, we want to...
Roses cost $1 billion.
We want to lock ourselves in a locker room and beat only the two of us in this tight quarter forever because we're so obsessed with each other. Like, that's not practical. Or, like, even the idea of sleeping in the same bed next to one person for the rest of your life seems sort of impractical, right? But it's romantic.
Sort of. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's being with one person for your entire life, kind of impractical, very romantic.
Sure.
So it almost has this, like, opposite thing, and it's hard to toe the line between, like, what is actually, like, making me feel good, or what am I just doing for the sake of this, like, rom-com romantic
ideal. You know, I think people make the mistake of trying to plan out their whole lives when you really have to live for the moment and live for today.
Yeah.
You know, because guess what? Who knows? And, you know,
yeah, you'll spend half your life thinking of what other people are thinking and not doing anything.
Exactly.
I'm with you. We make plans,
you know, and God laughs, really, is what it is. Because, you know, you can make all these plans and think, oh, you know, we're going to do this the rest of our life. We're going to buy this and have that. And, you know, I just think that you have to live in the moment and be happy and do what makes you happy.
All right. Let's do
regardless of what people think. You know, that's how I live my life, because listen, I try to live my life that way, because at the end of the day, I've got to live with myself.
Sure. Right.
I'm not living with those people that are talking,
into the confessional.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Right. And you know, I'm sure you like to sleep with your girlfriend, and that's why you guys sleep together, right?
Of course. But I mean, if she said once a week we get to our own bedroom, I go, this is a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
And here's the thing. People are going to talk about something or another anyway, they're always going to talk about something. So you shouldn't build your life around making sure that they don't talk about the things that you don't want them to talk about, because they're just going to find something else to talk about.
Exactly. Yeah. Couldn't agree with you more.
Let's play some games.
Let's do it.
Awesome.
So we play this game called Red Flag or Deal Breaker. Basically, we say a scenario and you say, if the person you're dating did this, would you be like, this is just a red flag, I'm going to figure it out, or this is a deal breaker, I can't.
Okay.
I'm out.
Okay. Mm.
All right.
So you're dating someone, everything's perfect, but they believe in showering together every day.
Is deal breaker.
Deal breaker. Done.
I mean, well, I mean, listen, unless you can convince them that that's not going to happen every day.
That's their thing.
That's
intimacy to them.
Yeah, right. Especially during this time of year. It's freezing. You're off shivering in the corner while they're showering. There's no... Unless you're like... Unless I would have to... We would have to have like the best shower ever made.
Yeah, or the ones that are huge with double heads.
Right. Yeah. I need like quadruple heads.
And even then, it's like, you know what? It's a moment of privacy that you need for yourself,
yeah,
right?
Give me 5 minutes.
That's what I was thinking. It's like, I could commit to maybe 2 days a week, but I feel like a shower is a very... It's like there's not... Especially when you live with someone, there's only so many moments you get to be completely on your own, and you don't have to explain yourself to anyone.
Exactly, yeah, and have the bathroom to yourself.
Shower together is like... It's the 20-piece McNugget of sexual encounters. Like a 20-piece McNugget, you're like, I'm pretty hungry. I should get the 20-piece. Then you get done with it. You're like, fuck this. I don't want to do this at all.
Not as good as I thought it was going
to be. Yeah, I need to go puke, and I don't want to look at my body anymore.
Let's do another. Okay, so this girl writes, she said, I met a guy in a dating app, and we've been talking quite a bit. We haven't met up yet. He seems incredible. He checks all the boxes. I've been quite picky in the past and have cut off guys early, and the earliest sign of any red flag. I know people aren't perfect, so I need to cut them some slack. This guy, 3 years ago, met my best friend on an app, but they never met, and they never met either, but they did Snapchat for a little bit, nothing serious, and he sent her an unsolicited dick pic. He's quite forward when it comes to talking sexually, something I'm not entirely comfortable with since I haven't met him in person and I don't usually respond. Do I tell him the reasons and cut him off, or do I give him the benefit of the doubt that it was 3 years ago and he's changed? Do I tell him the reason he's in his late 20s? I'm in my mid-early 20s. I thought the age might help give Jared a better idea of what type of guy this is.
All right.
So would this be a red flag for you or a deal breaker? So just to sum up, she's talking to this guy on the app. She wants to go out with him. She thinks it's going really well. She finds out her best friend 3 years ago, they also matched, and he sent her this dick pic.
Red flag or deal breaker?
Deal breaker.
Deal breaker?
I agree.
Yeah.
I think deal breaker because now
first of
it's
all,
like,
why haven't they gotten together yet? Okay. That's the first red flag.
That's the issue with the world of dating apps. They take, there's not a lot of talking, not a lot of like Like you said, feel, touch.
I mean, how long can you go on with this long distance kind of, I call it a long distance relationship because they haven't even met in person, first of all. Second of all, that that he sent a dick pic to a friend of hers. I mean, that's major.
3 years ago, though.
3 years. It doesn't matter. I mean, a guy who sends a dick pic already is a red flag. It's a done deal.
It's her best friend. And I feel like the idea of like the guy, like, let's say they hit it off, right? And this is her boyfriend. It's like, you're being in the room. You always know that he sent you. He sent my friend, my best friend, a picture of his penis.
When you put it that way, yeah. Do guys send you explicit texts like
that?
No, never.
Oh no. If I got a dick pic, that would be deal breaker.
Yeah. Deal breaker. Okay.
Yeah. Unless he sent it to me, that means he sent it probably to a girlfriend of mine 3 years ago.
You don't do that. Same one.
Same one.
I think the most important part of her email isn't even the dick pic. It's
he's
quite forward when it comes to talking sexually.
Right.
So it's not like they haven't met and it's been like kind of like leave it to beaver conversation.
Sounds like he's jerking off to me.
He's already.
I don't know if he's doing that, but at the same, maybe.
Well,
okay.
If he's talking to her sexually like that, I mean, what's he doing? And why hasn't he asked her out?
Guys, right, or if he's leading with that, that's what he's interested in.
Yeah, because she says, I'm not really comfortable. I'm not entirely comfortable with it since I haven't even met him in person and I don't usually respond. Guys don't go down sexually. Mm. They go up. They heighten. So the fact that you haven't met and he's already talking sexually means he wants to go up from there. He's trying to get you to talk in sexual terms so it won't be something real, so it will be a casual meetup. So he's already starting at that level, which means he only wants that. Him sending the dick pic, like I could see how someone 3 years ago was immature. They sent a dick pic. They looked at themselves in the mirror and they go, who am I? How could I ever, you know, talk to people? And then they meet another person. They're like, this is different. I'm in a different place of life. But the fact that he hasn't taken you out yet and he's already talking sexually means he's looking for a sexualized relationship.
I don't even think it's about maturity, because I think that it's totally, for me, not even immature. It's it goes to show you his character, first of all. And second of all, the most important word for me in this story is her being uncomfortable.
Yes. Right. I'm with you. And she's already emotionally masturbated to this. She's said he's an incredible guy.
He's perfect. No. Whatever. That's always the, it's like he's perfect, but he's extremely sexual. Yeah. Then he's not perfect. I feel like that's also something.
No perfect guy has ever texted you the word tit.
Unless he's your husband.
No, yeah, it's first of all, it's a red flag deal breaker. It's a double.
Yeah.
It's a double whammy.
It's both.
Okay. Let's do one more.
All right.
When you go out to eat and they like their dish, they always ask the waiter for the recipe.
Wait, start over?
So you guys are out to dinner.
Okay.
He's like, I love this split pea soup.
Okay.
Can you get me the recipe?
Oh my God.
To the waiter.
To the waiter. Oh, well, that's for me another deal breaker.
Game over.
I mean, it's so inappropriate, first of all.
Yeah, it's a little inappropriate.
It's totally inappropriate. And it shows a lack of sophistication.
I agree with that.
And social awareness.
And also, like, the restaurant's using heavy cream. You don't have heavy cream in the home. Like, the ingredients, that's why they say it's always, like, worse for you, like, health-wise to eat out than it is to eat in.
Right.
Because you don't have those ingredients. So asking for the ingredients is a dumb move because you're not even going to use those. Right. You're not going to be putting cumin and stuff. Right. You're not doing that.
Right, right. I think that, you know, it's just so crazy, first of all, to expect that, you know, the chef of a restaurant is going to share. You know, it just goes to show you that, you know, this person doesn't really have an education and
doesn't get
that social graces.
Imagine you're doing stand up and the person's like, oh, how did you tell that joke?
Yeah, give me the behind the scenes.
I need to know it all.
That does get asked where they'll go, what's the, you know, did that really happen?
Right.
Yeah, it's.
None of your business.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a red flag because it'd be annoying, but maybe I could stop that habit really quickly. Mm. It depends how insistent they were. I feel like
it is a fixable
habit. You'd have to like really work it out of their system.
Yeah, for me, if I get a bad taste in my mouth, I'm out. No pun intended with the soup.
That's okay. Well, listen, this has been a blast.
This has been awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
If you guys are in Indianapolis or Cincinnati, she's going to be there doing her show, which is The whole city's talking about it. Fantastic show.
Thank you.
January 24th in Indianapolis, January 25th in Cincinnati. And you go to countessluann.com. That's countessluann.com for tickets. Get on that. If you're in the area, you're going to have a blast. Get the whole group chat together. It was a blast. Thank you.
It was great. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Betches.